talk will be by Cornelius Schumacher, developer at SUSE and also one of the central figures or developers in the KDE PIM project, and he will speak about metaprogramming in KDE.
Yes, I will talk about metaprogramming in KDE. So that's the technology, or part of the technology, which is behind KConfigX team and some other projects. So my talk will start with a short explanation what metaprogramming is, or what I understand with the term metaprogramming. And then I will come to some more detailed information about code generators, which are the flavor of metaprogramming KDE. One simple, libkdc, then some details about KConfigXT and the new one which I have written in the last week called the KXML compiler. I will touch the code, which is a library used by KXML compiler, and then also talk a bit about other code generators outside of KDE and draw a conclusion. So let's start with what is metaprogramming. So one definition I found on the web is it's the art of programming programs that read, transform, or write other programs. So basically, it's some kind of automated program. So you don't write the code yourself, you let the code generate by a generator. So you don't write the source code directly, but you create the code from the meta description. So that's a nice thing, because you have to do less, because the program is done by somebody else, but automatically. There are different flavors of metaprogramming. So for example, assemblers and compilers, you could see as metaprogramming, they create a high-level language and convert this into a low-level language. So using an assembler is metaprogramming of assembler code, of machine code in assembler code. Using a C++ compiler as metaprogramming assembler code in C++. Another flavor of metaprogramming would be C++ templates. Because that's a way to describe C++ code, repeating C++ code in a more generic form. So you have to write less code, and the compiler takes care of generating the actual code in the case of C++ templates behind the scenes. Last year, we had a talk by Carsten Pfeiffer about aspect-oriented programming, and this also involves some kind of metaprogramming, because you describe some aspects of your program in an abstract way, and you have an aspect weaver, which then injects additional code into your code, and you get a more rich program. And this boils down to one additional flavor is, and that's what I will focus on, code generators, where you generate source code, which is on the same level as the source code you write yourself, based on specific input, like some kind of data files or some commands to a tool which generates your code. In KDE, there are a lot of code generators. It's actually surprising how many, and if you go through the modules, you find a lot of them. One of the most prominent, which is not in KDE, but used in KDE heavily, is the GT, Meta Object Compiler. There's another one, which is used by Qt Designer for generating the code XML files created by Qt Designer. There are other ones, DecodeDL, which generates decop stubs and skeletons. There's KDE widgets, which is basically a small program to create the plugins. But this also is code which gets generated instead of programmed manually. There are simple ones like app template, which just put out a template of an application, or very complex ones like Umbrello, which generates whole program structures from UML descriptions. And another quite complex application of code generations are KDE bindings, where language bindings are generated based on the original code. So this wouldn't be feasible by writing the code manually. You need some kind of generator. And the three code generators I will focus on in the next time are the MakeAddressy, which is quite old one from the KDEC, the KConfig compiler, and finally the KXML compiler. So let's start with libkdc. this actually was my first try at the code generator, and I wrote this when I rewrote the address book library. And I was annoyed by the fact that the RESI class, which holds all the data of a contact, is so boring to write, because you have a lot of fields, and all the fields you have to write accessors, mutators, you have to write documentation, and that's very boring, and it's actually error prone, and this isn't fun. So I decided to replace the code by a template and generate the code necessary by a Perl script called MegaResi. The output are C++ classes, the C++ code, which then is actually compiled. The description of the fields is done by a text file, which is called entry list. This holds the description of all the fields. These I use as control to make the RESI script, controls what kind of code is actually put out. So if you have a look at some of these files, the content isn't so important, but at the top we have the C++ template, and it's basically the RESI class, which describes the contact. This is a small snippet, and there are, at some places, there are these kind of markers, where just a symbol is put in the code, which isn't actually C++, but is used as a kind of marker that there are the declarations of the automatically generated fields you have to go. And then we have this control file at the bottom of the page, where we have comments how this is how the fields are described, and we have two of the many fields which are in the RESI class, and this describes the data type, some strings for the documentation, and how the functions should be named. This gets for all fields. And if you then run the code generator, all this boring code is automatically generated at the correct place by the Perl script. You get accessors and mutators, label function, which returns a translated label of the field. And you can use this from code down. So this kind of code to write manually would really be a very boring task. So the benefits of code generation in this case are that there's no need to write this code manually, but you still get a type-safe API for all the fields, which is quite important, because you can do the type checking and compile time, and you get strong typing, but still don't have to write all this in this code yourself. You could try in C++ to do some more generic solution to fields, for example, just use a string key and a string value for all fields, so you only need one function, but you would lose all the type safety, which is useful. Another benefit is that the consistency is enforced. You get the field names and labels and API docs. They are all generated from the same sources, so they are automatically correct in a consistent way at all places. And it's quite easy to extend this. To add a new field to the RESI class, it's just adding one line of text to the control file that you are done. Some of the problems we noticed with this code generator is that the complexity of the build process, of course, gets increased because you first have to generate run the code generator and then you can compile the code. But that's solvable. And there are some other a bit more strange problems that people tended to change the generated code, because this also was in CVS. Instead of the sources, so you have to keep track. People don't know this kind of system. And then another problem I noticed recently was that the API docs are not at the usual place, because DocsGen runs on the template, and so all the fields are missing. So that's something one has to think about. So I learned some lessons from doing this code generation in the KVC. It really saves work. It's nice to have this. It improves the quality, because you don't have errors introduced by adding a new field and doing it in a slightly wrong way. And it works around the limitations of C++, so the type safety can't be ensured in the generic code. You have to have all these successor functions. You don't have access to the C++ identifier files, which would be nice, so you can look up labels for this, but this doesn't work in C++. So it's a way to extend C++ in some way. The script itself and the approach is a rather crude one, and only works for this special case, so it's not very generic. And apparently the complexity of the system confused some developers. So it's something, if you don't write the code yourself, but use a code generator, you add some complexity which might be also harmful. The template approach I use in this make address is something which might be done by a modern generic system, but for this simple purpose, I think it works awesome. So now let's go on to another area, the kconfig xt. You probably all know it. It was introduced in KDE 3.2, and it's based on describing configuration options in an abstract form. So you provide the metadata in XML, and there's a code generator which translates the XML files to C++ code. So you then can access the C++ classes in a convenient way, and you have access to the configuration options in a very nice type-safe way. And all the loading and saving is handled in the background, so you don't have to care about the config or the configuration files and which functions do you provide special options. And in addition to that, you get a generic access to meta information about the configuration functions. So you can, at runtime, from your configuration class, get a list of what options are there, and if these options are mutable and things like that. This is used, can be used to connect GUI designer generated dialogues to these classes at runtime. So that's a nice thing which wouldn't be possible with handle classes without a lot of elements. Code generation in kconfig xt is done by the kconfig compiler, which is a C++ program. It takes the XML description, which is called, has the extension kconfig, and there's a control file which controls how the classes are generated, how they are named, if they are in the namespace, which functions, if accessors and datas, all accessors should be generated, things like that. The output is C++ class, the source code, which is like compiled and used in the rest of the code. The generated code uses some classes which are part of the kconfig xt system. So the yellow classes are all the classes from the library, and the green class is the one which is generated by the kconfig compiler, and which is the one which is used by the application. So it's good that this is such a simple and small class. If you look at the other classes, it's a quite complicated system to get an abstract way to access the configuration options. So in this view, the base class is kconfig skeleton, which provides all the reading and writing, and which contains the configuration items, the individual options. And for a single option, there's an inheritance tree. You have an abstract base class, which holds some properties and meta information about the configuration options. And there's a template fund class, which implements the set and get functions for the value and also the default value. And then you have, for each type, the system supports, you have a complete class, which then can be instantiated by the user to put into the kconfig scalar container. This is what the generated code in the kconfig class does. So this is, if you use it, it's very simple, because all the logic behind this is hidden in the generated code, in this case, in my config. And you have all the configuration options accessible by static accessors if you let these generate the way to access them from an application. You don't have to care about loading and writing. So to make this a bit more concrete, on the top left you see a control file. That's the file which on which the application works, the namespace, whether this should be implemented as a singleton and so on. You have the XML description of the options, which describes the type, the name, and some metadata, the label, and some text to be shown in the user interface. And then on the right you see the generated code, which generates a class inherited from the config skeleton. And you see how the types from the XML descriptions are converted into types in the C++ code. The names appear in the function names, but they are also available in this description. So this just is to illustrate how the mapping works. The benefits of code generation in this case are that all definitions are at one place in the XML file. There's only one place where the default values are specified. Normally, if you write application code by hand, you have a lot of places where default values and things that you are defined, where keys in the config file are defined. So you get problems if you make a typo in the key and you don't notice this until you really debug the code. So this doesn't happen anymore if you have to only one place. And you get the type-safe interface to the config option, so you don't have to think about which function of the config you have to use to read the configuration value, because the interface already knows the type and you get the type. And that's nice because it really eliminates errors which are caused by typos in strings, which happen but cannot be checked by the compiler. With this generated metacode, then the compiler can check this. And one main benefit is that it's less code to be written. You don't have to write all the code because it's generated. It's a very nice thing because it saves a lot of work. I also said about the metadata for config options, which is available to create the GUI dialogs. This is also used by the kconfig editor, which Zach has written. So that's a tool to work on configuration files. And if you have the metadata information, you have the labels and what's this, and you can do some kind of registry type editor, which is a config editor. But you have more information than just the config file itself. And one advantage of having the default values in the sample place is that you get cleaner config files, because you don't have to write all values. If it's the default value, you don't have to write it back. Files which have a lot of options. You always have big configuration files, although it's completely unnecessary. And it's one of the main benefits is that it's really easily extensible. So you can just add a new configuration option just by writing three or four lines of XML, and you get all the code, and you can access it from your application. Also helps for kiosk integration, because you have the information, and to have the meta information available helps with, for example, detecting if an entry is immutable so you can make better use of all the attributes. This makes it easier to add this to user interfaces. Okay, kconfig compiler also increases the complexity of the build system, but that's something which is nicely handled by Kulo, so I don't care about that. We have a designer for kconfig files, which was written by Zach, which is also nice because I didn't have to do it. And it's really impressive because you can generate XML code. It's quite easy to generate and create, so it's not difficult to write such an application. You can just put in the data into the GUI and it generates the XML files, and you get the configuration handling which you have to use in your application quite easily just by clicking the GUI. That's a nice thing. Internally, kconfig compiler is really an ugly piece of software. It's it's mostly a spaghetti goat, and it's not nice to look at. But fortunately, it's easy to test it because the generated compiler can be compiled, and then it just works.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting experience to work in cryptography compiler, because you have to think in an abstract level, because you don't have to think about the code you write, but to, you have to think about the code which gets generated and this works. So simple changes can have very big effects. So you can easily make half of KDE not compile just by adding some commas in the wrong place. Okay, let's go on to a new project, configuration wizards. This is part of the kconfig.xt framework. It adds some additional rules for propagation of configuration values. There's a dialog to control this, so it's currently used for setting up group access for the Kodak server, for example. A very complex configuration is done based on very simple values. So as example, you have a normal kconfig.xt file, it's an error description. Then you add some propagation rules and say, okay, propagate the user to the setting where the user of the free busy information is. And you can propagate this to other options. That's something I left out. And you get very easy, a very easy way to do complex configuration. And in the dialog, this is a more or less at the moment a debugging view. You get the a view on the changes which the wizard will do. And this is possible because you have the meta information from XML file. This allows for some quite interesting uses. I won't go into detail, into all these details, by having the meta information, you can do some things like showing hover overview pages for the users. You could record changes, you could replay changes, you could indicate in the user interface face of references dialog which options are set by the wizards and so on. So now to a new project I started. I was annoyed by writing too much XML parsing code. So I decided to write a compiler which generates all this. And I started by trying to pass a DTD and failed. And so I took a converter which converted this to an XML representation. This is a RelaxNG scheme. And then we have a program which reads this scheme and generates a class representation of the XML data. And this XML compiler makes use of the helper library, which is called the CamCode. So how does the generated code look like? We have some elements which are represented as classes. They have attributes, they have collections of other elements. And we can inherit from this and add to special functions. But the main thing is that all these classes, which are nice to use in C++, are automatically generated. And you have a C++ way to access the XML data. We could also add a base class, but that's currently not done. The benefits are that there's no handwritten code necessary for parsing XML. That's very nice. You could optimize the parsers, and you could do validating parsers. One very nice thing which I realized when listening to Harvest talk, you can enable persistence for the objects because you have the XML description, you have the business objects as C++ objects. So it's basically the other way around what Harry did. So you have the XML description and generate the classes for us. You can use the metadata runtime, which could be used in user interfaces. The problems are basically it's difficult, but it can be done. It is nice when it's done. Okay, to prove that this actually works, I took the DTD for the XML feature plan we have in KDE. Converted this into a RelaxNG scheme and then generated the C++ classes. So So you see the XML elements are transferred to classes, we have the aggregations, we have the properties, and the code to pass the XML. Then I wrote a resource for KOrganizer, which is some handwritten code. It's only one page. And the result is this nice view in KOrganizer. And the nice thing about it, if you take the balance, we have only 25 lines of BTD. We have a lot of generated code. And the functional code in the KResource are actually only 63 lines. So if you even if you include the boilerplate code, you come to the conclusion that 47% of this code are actually generated. So to say it simple, you save half of the work. And if you would write a generator for this boilerplate code, then you could get away with generated 90% of the code. Okay. The code is a support library for a XML compiler, which I wrote inspired by the spaghetti code of a config compiler. And this makes it easier to write code generating C++ code because it represents the elements we have. And it has some ability to add styles, how to put out the code. And it kind of automatically handles indentation tools, etc. There also is included an application which I use to generate templates for new classes or a single class, for example. So that's a nice help. There are many other uses for code generations. I will only briefly talk about this one. This is a Java implementation of generating object relational mappings for database access, which is something we don't do in KDE, but maybe we should think about it. Where classes to access a database are generated. So it's a nice framework and makes it easy to work with this. Another very interesting library is GSort. For SOAP bindings in KDE, it's currently hard to find a solution. So GSOAP provides a generator tool for generating SOAP XML web services. And it takes a VSDL definition, which is an XML description of the SOAP interface, and generates classes to access them. This is very nice, it's efficient, and you get the stuffs and skeleton, and it saves a lot of work in developing applications making use of SOAP, because you don't have to think about SOAP. The drawback is that it currently doesn't seamlessly integrate in KDE. So this is something we might want to improve if we want to use this. So the reason I mentioned this library is because I used it last week to write a GroupWise connector for contact. And this uses SOAP on the server. And this is some view we had at testing. These are real GroupWise. On the server, which were transferred to KDE by the GSOAP bindings, and this probably wouldn't have been possible to do in such a short time without using this generated code. So it really helps to have this type of code generators. Okay, conclusion. Metaprogramming is a surprisingly widely used technique. It's a very powerful tool to generate code, and central pieces of KDE make use of it. Config C as I showed, and also the new KXML compiler, and there's a helper library with code, which I will check in into the KDE CPS probably in the next days. I showed two applications of the metaprogramming in KDE. One is the XML feature plan parsing, the other is the GroupWise resource. And I really would like to encourage all of you to think of metaprogramming like code generation and use them where possible, because they really make your life as a programmer more easy. So that's
good. Thanks a lot, Cornelius. We have time for questions. Mark?
Last two or three minutes. last two at least, were generating code from XML files, right? Or from a set of XML files, drive files, and XML files. I'm wondering whether you take the workload to always implement the compiler, KXML compiler or kconfig compiler, and not use XFLT directly. Because C++ code is just text, and you can generate text with XFLT. Did you look into that at all, or did you hit limitations when you?
I actually tried it, I hit a limitation, which probably is a limitation of myself, because I just wasn't able to achieve what I wanted. Writing XSLT style sheets is it's nice for some simple transformations of text into Java, but for this kind of stuff where you need more logic, I found it, at least for me, really hard to understand. So the C++ approach was much more natural.
But you need to reinvent every time, so you ended up writing a library for it.
Yeah, but if you have the library, you can reuse the library. And I actually also looked into other parts of KDE where this kind of parsing code and generating code is used. And there certainly is some overlap, so I think it's certainly possible to get some more central and more commonly used tools. But I don't think that XSLT is really the solution for this, because writing XSLT style sheets is really hard. To achieve this effect. You can prove me wrong if you can implement this into a style sheet. But we're okay.
And make it.
A similar question. Did you consider the more traditional Unix tools, Lex and Jack, for instance?
Not really. To be honest, not really. I think that it's the same. It's the same problem. Writing Lex and Yak code also is. It's not that easy. For me, it was a more productive approach to just use the tools I know and not learn a lot. I was more focused on the design than the tool chain.
Just looking at the beginning and the long list of compilers that we've evolved in the last
Could you please speak a bit louder?
Oh, okay. Looking at the long list at the beginning of all of the meta compilers that we've evolved in the years, and that especially the last few that are being developed share a lot of things, and apparently these are moving into a library. Will this be a generalized framework with a single executable that's running and handling these things? Will we still end up with, to me it seems silly that a single build process will only run 14 different metacompilers someday. At a certain point it would seem to make more sense to have one thing doing it, kind of a single pass, and kind of delegating this out to different source handlers or some other nice concept there.
I think the code generation itself, so creating the text files containing the C++ is something which is probably the same for like applications. The parser code and the logic to generate the code is actually quite different. So of course you could squeeze this together into one tool, but it would actually be two tools to put into one tool. So I think what really would be helpful is to continue on this library approach to use common classes to generate this common library functions, especially for the kconfig compiler. This is something I don't really want to maintain this for, because it's really hard to understand the code. It becomes easier if you use the library I use to use. I don't really know if it would make sense to by different purposes, maybe.
But just what's going into my head is that if we see this as used more pervasively than it is now, so at a certain point, I mean, one of the real problems is that the tools, each one of them has a slightly different format, slightly different tool that's using it, but the code is coming from a different place. Of course, moving that into a library helps, but at some point it seems like we would have done it, you know, say 20, 30 different metacompilers. Just gets kind of crazy. So.
Yeah. More questions?
Let's say you had a lot of buttons which would emit different signals, and you wanted to implement them in such a metaprogramming framework, which tool would you try to use?
I think this depends on really the concrete application.
Mm-hmm.
If you, in the generic case, I can't say.
But in this config XT, you can specify only strings as arguments.
Okay, config XT, you can specify all kinds of types, but you don't really specify the user interface. So it's more like I would love to generate the user interface also for this kind of meta description. But this currently doesn't work here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Should we have some questions?
Yeah.
In many cases, I think a possibility to put this is to avoid a separate tool and put and create classes that make this kind of abstraction and or helper functions, and also help to reduce the lines of code in the final program. But without requiring a separate tool, I mean, I, as you showed, this kconfig example, I thought of a situation where I was able to avoid a separate tool but achieved something, I think, quite similar by creating some base classes and having nice
factors to create. You're certainly right that in many cases it's possible to do this with plain C++ without generated code. And it's in many cases probably also the better solution. The problem I see with this is that you use it at a level where it's really hard to extend. You have to really try hard to do this in a generic way if you only do it in C++. With the code generator, you get a lot more freedom and you can do basically everything. You have a lot of power and can change everything. So it's if you really have objections to use a separate tool, then okay, you can do it. But it's I think in some cases it's worth the additional hassle you have with an additional tool just because you have more power.
So I have no objections against having more power, but often this power comes at the price. As you mentioned yourself, the tool is internally complex, and if you need a new extra feature, it's possibly very hard to extend the tool if you haven't written it yourself.
That's right, but if you think about C++ compilers, for example, it's the same. You could write an assembler and you
yes.
wouldn't have to rely on C++, and then the GCC people fix the bugs here and you're fine. But you don't do it for a reason. So, you see, code generating tools are great, they have no bugs.
More question? We can take one more question. Yeah,
I'm a bit slow. Can you please explain a little more about the more power you gain? Where is the more power? If I compare to just the approach with some base classes.
Yeah. if you, one example, I had on the earlier slide, this generated class is corresponding to the symbol elements. And at the moment, we just generate the element classes, and they have no base class. So when you decide that it's easier to, or you would need some kind of meta information, you want the class to know which fields it has, in a way you can access from the program. Then you can add a base class which contains this information. With the generated code, it's really easy to do, because you just change the generator and you get this base class for all generated classes. If you would do this by hand, then you would have to change all classes you ever have written which should have this feature. And so it's a lot of manual work which we save by using the tool to create this. So that's one example for the additional power you get by this code generator.
And one last question.
May I ask, when you consider providing for finding some C++ binding library for generating code based on C++ syntax, because it's quite tricky on the conditions.
Yeah, it's a
passing C++ code question.
Yes, they've considered passing C++ code for this kind of thing. The problem is passing C++ code is really hard, and so I didn't consider it. It would be really nice if you could
bindings generators. They are not really passing. They are using very strange techniques.
Okay, thanks a lot. There will be no more talk in this room because the staff here needs to